Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear my voice, you are exactly where you need to be. I am your host, Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome. Unfortunately, Karen Frazier will not be able to join us tonight. Her baby boy has a music concert that he is doing. So she will be missed, as always. Love, Karen. Also, too, I wanted, before I go into it, I wanted to, give a quick shout out to Looking Into the Unknown. This is Paravision's deal. It's a great show. Whenever I get a chance to listen to it, I really dig what I hear, man. So, okay, tonight I have got an outstanding show lined up for everybody. For a long time now, there has been a lot of talk concerning about old school paranormal research and new school paranormal research. Sometimes the two, they don't want to meet because we seem to be led to believe that there is a lot more differences than there are similarities. But, after talking to a lot of people, yeah, I can see the differences, but I can also see a lot of the similarities as well. The only thing I don't like is when I'm talking to, some of the newbies is that it's like, hey, have you ever read any like Hans Holzer, or you read anything, like Phantasms of the Living or anything like that, or, anything by Brad Steiger? I usually hear one of two things. I usually hear who or what television show that they're on. And I cannot help but give an epic facepalm to such an incredibly epic fail. But tonight, we are going to break down those barriers between old school and new school. Joining us in the old school corner is going to be Kim Kowalczyk of Ghost Breakers. Kim has actually been on the show with us before, and he is also guest co-hosted with me, and he's an all-around good guy. I get a chance to talk to Kim a lot, and I like what he has to say. And joining us on the other side with the new school is going to be John Fowler from Midnight Watchmen, as well as the creator of the ParanormalDictionary.com. Now, if you haven't gone over to the ParanormalDictionary.com, I suggest you do, because even though Midnight Watchmen is a newer group, they're incredibly knowledgeable in this field, as well as John Fowler. And he's going to be joining us tonight. We're going to be talking about some of these differences that we got that's going on, such as orbs. Now, I hate the term orb. I think it's a lazy term. I prefer more of spirit energy, for lack of a better term. The use of psychics in paranormal research and investigation. Let's face it, 130 years, it was acceptable to use psychics in your inquiries, investigations, research. All of a sudden, it's, not so much, but it is starting to come back. We're going to find out by talking to both of these guys how they feel about such things as orbs and psychics and television shows, and whether or not it is true that Zach Bagans in his extremely tight t-shirts does in fact get possessed by some minion of the evil one every Friday night on the Travel Channel. 8 to 9 p.m. Central. 8 to 9 p.m. Central time here in Chicago. So we're going to be talking about a lot of this different kind of stuff tonight, and I'm hoping that we can break down some of these barriers and, learn a little bit about it from, each side of the coin. I think that both new school and old school as well they got a lot to teach each other and a lot to learn from each other. So I think what we're going to do is we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Kim Kowalczyk of Ghost Breakers, as well as John Fowler of the Midnight Watchmen and the ParanormalDictionary.com. Stick around. It's going to be live, and this is going to be a fun show. There's no malicious intent involved, no calling people old fuddy-duddies or, punks. So I'll probably be calling, both of them that. So come on back, stick around, and we're going to have some fun tonight.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com. A proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America. Dot org.
In her riveting novel, Breaking the Beyond, writer Kim Casey brings to life a supernatural tale filled with mystery, humor, and intrigue. Kim's suspenseful story focuses on Risa, a compassionate social worker who assists Owen, a young psychiatric patient. Is a 300-year-old entity speaking through Owen, or does he simply possess multiple personalities? Visit awningpublishing.ca to order your copy of Breaking the Beyond. That's A-H-N-E-E-N publishing.ca.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
Station Identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, and we're back, and thanks for sticking around. This is your host, Rick Hale, with Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. As promised, before we went on break, I told you that tonight will be the first ever Gladiator edition of Paranormal Underground Radio. And by Gladiator edition, I mean that tonight we are going to be trying to bridge the gap between new school and old school ways of conducting paranormal investigation as well as research. As I mentioned, there are some differences. However, there are a lot more similarities than you may possibly think. And tonight we're going to find out from two sides of the coin. Joining us, the champion. In this corner is going to be Crazy Kim Kowalczyk. Now, Crazy Kim Kowalczyk is the founder and lead investigator of Ghost Breakers. After serving his country with distinction for many years, he was able to retire and now pursues the unknown professionally. In this corner, we have the challenger and newcomer, John the FNG Fowler. If you don't know what FNG means, please go and Google it. It's hilarious. John Fowler is the founder of the Midnight Watchman as well as the creator of the ParanormalDictionary.com. I've asked these two gentlemen to come on the show to educate us in what it means to be old school, no school, new school, old school, no school, whatever. I think we're all trying to get after the same thing. We just go about it in a different way. So, John, Kim, welcome to the underground.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So are you guys ready, set? Because actually I have 10 questions that I would like to ask you. Now, these are 10 questions that I have noticed over the last couple of years that new schoolers and old schoolers have a tendency to somewhat disagree upon. So some of them are going to be pretty heavy duty, and I hope you guys got your thinking caps on your head and a beer in one hand, because we're going to be pulling an all-nighter here. So... Okay, question one, and here we go. Psychics are considered highly controversial. Do you believe in psychic ability, and what role should psychics play in paranormal research and investigation? Kim, since you are the champion, we're going to be starting with you. What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, to start off, psychics, I think, have a very important role in everything. I didn't always feel that way, but as time has gone on and I've realized that the paranormal, I know everybody believes the paranormal, they think the first thing that comes in their mind is ghosts and mm-hmm. demons or whatever they're talking about, but when you really boil everything down, it has to do with people.
Yes.
And, you know, if it wasn't for the living and the people having the experiences, there would be none of this going on out there. So... I know a lot of people have problems with psychics, and one of the reasons they do is they can't verify whatever the psychic is telling them. Mm-hmm. They can hope something happens in the future to, you know, validate whatever they put out there, but that's what kind of scares everybody. I think they play an important part now, though. We have a lady that comes with us now and again, because I think that what they go... If the person is a true psychic, and they go in and whatever they pick up on, it may come back to, you may find something that validates whatever they're saying, or they can say, and it gives you an avenue to pursue. You know, I'm a big one on the term investigation versus examination.
Sure. Right? I prefer the word inquiry.
Yeah, well, there's another one, too. But as for me, psychics are okay. Okay, they have their place. You know, I guess it's all a matter of preference on what you're looking for and what you're trying to do as far as whether or not you want to, you know, incorporate one into your group or, you know, take them along now and again.
Sure.
But I think they have a place nowadays. And like you said, they're starting to come back as far as it's not just the fortune teller or the psychic here doing a reading here, there, and that.
Or Miss Cleoman.
What's that?
I was just saying, I was making fun of Miss Cleo. I think, people like Miss Cleo were, you know, they were sort of instrumental in making people thinking like, wow, these people are all kind of full of crap, you know, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, there's always a bad apple here and there. I mean, that's going to have, you know, rear its ugly head every once in a while, too. People have to keep that in mind, that, you know, that's always going to be out there, just like you talked earlier about TV shows and stuff. You know, yeah. there's good and there's bad in everything.
Sure.
So, just because go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're right, there is good and bad in everything. I mean, you know, I could go, you know, down to downtown Chicago and have bad pizza at one place but great pizza at another place, and somebody's going to think it's, you know, the complete opposite. There's good and bad in everything, and no matter what you do.
Exactly. And I think as far as this goes, this evening, as far as the old school versus new school, I think mm-hmm. what a lot of it has to do with experience also, because if you do it one time and you have a bad experience, you tend to think, label everybody or everything the same.
Sure.
Whereas if over time, and the only way you can do that is do it over time, then you get to see the good and the bad, and you get a little more experience to pick things out and
right.
you know, the way you like it or what sure. or what you need.
Okay. Fair enough. John, the challenger, what do you have to say concerning psychics and their place in the paranormal field right now?
Honestly, I have to agree with Kim on most of those points. I think the biggest problem with psychics is that you can't identify sometimes what they come up with. You can't verify it from, you know, any sources or even EVPs. It's hard to, you know, trust in something that you can't verify. It's kind of like that strange noise that you can't quite make out whether it's a voice or a pipe knocking.
Sure.
It can be very subjective. I do think some of the TV shows also have, I don't want to say skewed the view of it, but they've, like using Chip Coffee as an example, there's times that he may not have seen on the up and up with some of the shows. Maybe it's editing, maybe it's reality. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you get that public perception in there too, and it just kind of knocks things down. But I guess you could say that about all the TV shows of the paranormal as well.
Well, I think you could say that pretty much about any kind of show concerning subjectivity. I mean, you know, recently my wife loves to watch those My Big Fat Gypsy Weddings or whatever. I mean, you know, let's face it, dude. Nobody can afford a $10,000 birthday for their 4-year-old kid. You know what I'm saying? It just goes to show that it's like, yeah, these kind of things are, you know, can be a little bit on the BS side, but let's not talk about television shows just yet, because that's one of the questions that I want to hit a little bit further down the road. But let me ask you this: when it comes to, you know, psychics, I personally will not conduct an investigation without a psychic, without the impressions, but one that I trust, the one that I work with, you know, Nancy Laporta. You know, if she could float out a 5-story window and back in, she'd be Daniel Douglas Hume. You know, as I always say, she's phenomenal. She's amazing. I have verified many of the situations that we have been in, not only historically, but also through evidence as well. So I really honestly don't believe that the use of psychics in research and investigation really wasn't supposed to be used as evidence, more or less a way of how to, you know, go forward with the investigation. Would you guys agree with that or no?
Yeah,
I think that sounds fair.
Okay.
Yeah, more as an investigative tool is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, it's, you know, just a tool. I mean, but I don't mean to make it sound like, you know, it's totally impersonal, because, you know, some of these people are really good friends of mine and I trust them. But yeah, it's a tool and it's a way to proceed rather than a way to say, hey, this is what you got going on in your house. Cause either way, you don't want to turn your brain off too much either way.
No, neither. But I understand what you're saying. And they should understand also that everything, I mean, you're using a lot of different things as tools if you're doing an investigation, inquiry, or examination, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Because in order to, nothing is any good by itself. Everything
right.
You need corroborating evidence. So, you know, the psychic is something that's, you know, and your EVPs and your photographs and all that. What you're trying to do is build a case, technically, to find whatever you're looking for.
Right.
It all fits together in the end, hopefully. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think so, too. I think it's like we're all trying to reach that same goal, except we may, you know, do things a little bit differently and use some different terminology. So, all right, I guess you could say that you guys, that is one question where, you know, the new schools pretty much will agree on. Would you guys say that's fair?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, right on. All right, let's move on to number two, issue number two. Now, this is another big one right now, because I spoke about it a little bit before, you know, we came back, and the idea of orbs. Personally, I hate the term orb, because I think it's kind of lazy, and it sounds really cheesy and lame. But what I want to find out is it dust, bugs, or something that's unexplained? John, we're going to start with you. What are your thoughts on orbs?
I think it's a little bit of everything there. I throw out probably 99% of orbs as dust, moisture, you know, something on the lens. And for the longest time, I'll tell you, I told my group, if you don't see it with your own eyes, it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And then we had a case where me and another member witnessed a ball of white orb go between us. And, of course, the DVR camera was right on us, and you do not see that period in the DVR camera.
Okay. So hold on a second, John. That's not the video that you were asking my opinion about, because, I mean, like you said, I've seen these things fly around well-lit rooms. In fact, I've even watched them knock things off of shelves and, you know,
that's
whatever.
A different video is that one.
Okay. All right. Well, then proceed then.
No problem. Basically, since I saw my own eyes, it changed my perception a little bit, to say the least. I do believe orbs could be spirit or energy or supernatural, whatever, you know, definition you want to put to them. But I do believe the majority of them are, you know, everyday dust, moisture, you know, et cetera, on a lens.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough, man. I think that a lot of us would probably agree with that. Kim, what do you think about orbs? Dust, bugs, or, you know, great-grandma coming back for a visit?
Well, I have to agree with you on one thing about hating the terminology. I think the word orb is just a catch-all for everything out there. When we know for a fact that not everything is an orb, they have what they call the rods and all this other stuff, and sometimes they're huge and small in this. As far as photography, the problem is that I don't want to say I don't believe in them. I'd never discount anything. If I don't believe it or think I believe it, I'll file it away for another time or something, in case something comes up that makes me want to look at it again. But the problem with orbs in photography is that you can't duplicate that.
Sure.
Okay, so you can't prove it is dust, and you can't prove it isn't dust. So there's the big dilemma. You know, you have the big debate on one side. They're saying it's dust, moisture, and everything. The other guy is saying it's, like you said, grandma's coming to visit. But you can't prove either way what it is. I think that debate's going to go on for quite a long time. Yes, some is dust, obviously, and some is moisture, obviously. Some of the less experienced people will go, I mean, I've seen people, you know, which is obvious, moisture or dust coming up mm-hmm. and saying, you know, when there's like hundreds and hundreds of them in a picture and stuff like that. But I don't really know. I can't make a determination on that. I'm really up in the air about it. Okay. My sister, which is in my group, she's really into that, and she really studies them. She believes in them. But yes, as far as for me, I'm really on the fence.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fair enough. I mean, a lot of the photographs that I have seen, usually when it's dust or moisture, when I'm looking at it, it's like, if it's just sort of looking stupid and just hanging there in the middle of the air, chances are that it's something without any kind of intelligence. But when you're looking at other photographs and you see these things, they're moving around. It looks like there's intelligence and intent behind it, as well as, like, not only is it giving off its own light source, but there also seems to be like a vaporous trail. There's a photograph, and if I find it, I want to post it on Paranormal Underground. I have to find it. There's two of them, actually, with my son. There's one where it's like there's this humongous bright flash of light in front of my kid's face, and this was taken with myself, my old cell phone. So there's no flash involved here. I think I actually did send it to Cheryl and Karen. I would say that there were things in my home. Not only was it myself or my wife who had seen them or experienced them, I actually had my sister-in-law who babysitted my kid one night, and she's like, do you guys have something in this house? Because I always feel like there's something watching me. So I think that those two pieces of evidence there can actually corroborate each other, that saying, yeah, there's something there. And I've also seen orbs too, where it's like, you know, they're giving off their own light. Again, there's a vaporous trail, and I've seen these things. You guys have seen these things. So I think that this is one where we can call a draw on this one, correct?
Yeah, well, for the time being, absolutely.
Definitely more to learn here, I believe, in the whole subject.
Okay. All right, cool. Now, on to one of Kim's favorite. Now, you and I, Kim, we were talking about this quite a bit over the week. You and I, we chat quite a bit on Facebook.
Right.
Television shows.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear you, Kim. You're like, oh, God, why? No, but seriously, no. I mean, I think that it is an issue that is, you know, really important right now to the debate between old school and new school, the television shows. Are they important to the research, or are they a hindrance? And seriously, take some time and explain yourself. We're going to go with John first.
Well, I think it's a catch-22 in some ways. Ghost Hunters, for example, brought a lot of new viewers, I shouldn't say viewers, fans, interest to the paranormal, mm-hmm. which I think is good. But then, of course, with anything that becomes successful, there's always going to be the backlash of negativity for whatever reason, which then, of course, makes it bad and looked down upon.
Sure.
So I know it myself, once I got into the paranormal enough to start doing it myself, I stopped watching probably 99% of the shows just because I looked at them and went, that's not how I do it.
Right.
I still watch Ghost Adventures because I think it's interesting as in entertainment. As for like how I do an investigation, oh, God, no.
Yeah, I've actually said to many people that and even on the show, that's like, I would never dream of taking Zach, Nick, or Aaron into somebody's home because they are going to scare the living shit out of these people. And it's like, I never even would consider it. So, okay, please proceed, John.
No problem. That's why one of the reasons I call Zach Bobo Baggins. I just don't really have much respect for him, at least as the paranormal end. I'm sure if I met him, he'd be a nice guy. I'd enjoy talking to him. But as the show's portrayed, that's not my style.
Sure.
And a lot of the shows, too. I mean, the one good thing I can say, honestly, is a lot of the shows have shown different perspectives on the paranormal, from the provoking to...
Oh, don't go too far ahead, John, because that's one that's coming up very soon.
It's good to know. But, you know, provoking to the, like, I guess the Zaphis kind of just ask questions calmly approach. You mm-hmm. get all these different, you know, ends. It's kind of, it's kind of interesting to see how people do things without actually working with them. It's a unique way of looking at a case, kind of from an outside in.
Sure.
So, I think it's good and bad. Probably more on the bad side, just because it doesn't give anybody a true representation of what happens when you do an investigation, a case, a hunt, whatever terminology you want to use for it.
Okay.
Or examination, I guess Kim said too. It's one of those things that entertainment's there, but I don't put much stock in it otherwise.
Outstanding. I kind of had a feeling that that was exactly what you were going to say. But now, Kim.
Uh-huh.
Kim is a little bit more radical in his, shall we say, dislike of television shows. So,
I don't know about that.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time, buddy. But no, I mean, Kim, what do you think? Do you think that these television shows that have been, you know, bombarding us now for almost 10 years, do you think it's a help or a hindrance to what it is that we do?
I would have to say in the beginning, it's when it started to draw a lot of interest, it probably helped, got more people interested in it, where the going around saying that you were hunting for ghosts or whatever, you were investigating the paranormal, whatever, was no longer taboo. Mm-hmm. In that respect, I would say that the TV shows probably did a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I have to stop there. I don't know how many people do their research into the TV shows or know what all, you know, where these people's backgrounds or whatever. But, I mean, I don't know of any that were ghost hunters before the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about ghost hunters. Everybody, a lot of people love ghost hunters, obviously. But Grant was a web designer, and that's what he was doing. And, you know, Jason went to him to try to build a website. He was getting interested in the paranormal, blah, blah, blah. One thing led to another. They started putting their name out there, and they got picked up first. Kudos to them. They did an excellent job of becoming famous and successful.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them that. Same thing with everybody's favorite Zach and the boys. They weren't ghost hunters. They did that first Goldfield thing as a show to try to get it picked up as a TV show. It worked. They got it.
Successfully, I might add.
Very successfully. I have to say that I do watch that show. I think they're quite entertaining. They do a lot more than just the ghost hunting. You know, they'll go around town, they'll talk to people, things like that. So, as far as that show, there's some out there that I hate. I just have to put that out there too. I just don't think that they are doing any good for the people that are serious about the paranormal field.
What specifically are these shows that you could think of?
You don't put me on the spot.
Well, I am.
It doesn't matter.
That's my job. I'm the host of this show.
That's
man.
True. It doesn't matter. Nobody wants me to be on TV, and I don't have to bow down to any producers or anything like that. The one I don't like is that new one that came out, The Haunted Collector.
Oh, okay, John Zaffis. But you know what? John Zaffis has been in this field for, God, half a century.
John Zaffis is a relative of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Mm-hmm. And if you do your homework, you'll see that they never had a really good relationship.
Okay.
Anyway, the long story short, that's what got John Zaffis known, I guess, was Ed and Lorraine Warren. That's how I found out about him long ago. And he's been doing this a long time. But the problem I have with his show is every time they go into something, you know he's looking for an object to take.
And yes.
It just doesn't sit right with me to tell him this is an object. Oh, yeah, this is an object. I'll take it, and everything is going to be fine. It's almost like he's setting them up for, telling them. You know what I mean? It's almost like a suggestion to me. I don't know. It just rubs me. The whole thing rubs me the wrong way.
Well, I'm not
alone in this, but.
Yeah, I think that's poor editing on the show's part, though, more than Zaffis. I think it's just the way it's portrayed, honestly. I know a few people on the show. I can say that. It's a little, I think it's the editing more than the actual, and that isn't, you're not the only one with that perception. I don't blame you. That's how most of the episodes in that first season come off, exactly like what you said.
Mm-hmm. But, like you said, it is what it is. It's television, and they're all, every single one of the TV shows are, they're all at the mercy of the producers and the directors. I don't know if you do or how many people that are actually watching and know what goes into making Ghost Hunters, but if you've ever seen behind the scenes of any of their shows, it is a circus. When they did Place in Pennsylvania, they had trucks and talking large boom trucks, cameras everywhere, and all you see is what the camera's shooting. Mm-hmm. And there's hundreds of people around them. And here's the problem. I know if you're a fan of the show, then you've known all the controversy about this being done wrong or this being faked or this, that, and the other thing. It is always, before you start telling somebody they're doing it, because that's all people see is those two people. They see Jason and Grant. They don't see the hundreds of people around that are making this happen. Sure. So if something looks wrong or something looks, there was one with a window open where they said there was a bottle there and then there wasn't. Well, when the bottle wasn't there, the outside window was open. But do you have all these other people there that could be doing this stuff also to make it more exciting? They need ratings to keep their show going.
Right. So, if I may interject with that, Kim, and I think you guys will both agree with this. When they did the live thing from Fort Mifflin, and there was the the pool on Grant's
Jacket pool, right?
I think I'm kind of hoping that the three of us can agree that there were possibly some shenanigans involved there.
That would
100%. I would agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, but do you think that when these television shows, because let's face it, these guys are like superheroes in the field of the paranormal. Maybe not so much anymore as they were 2 or 3 years ago. But do you think that when you see that kind of thing happen and you know that, okay, let's face it, physics doesn't exactly really support the idea of ghosts so much, mm-hmm. but physics is going to support the pull of somebody's collar on their jacket. And the way that jacket was pulled, man, you could look at that thing from 1,000 different angles and be like, there's something going on there. Do you think that actually hurts the credibility, not just of the television show, which, let's face it, it really didn't, but do you think that that hurts us a little bit more, the people really out there in the field doing the work?
The people that are serious, yes, because if somebody is actually out there that feels that there's something going on in their home or wherever, and mm-hmm. then the only recourse they have is internet or whatever like that. It's not like they got 100 ghost hunters running around their town and they know them all. You know, they're mm-hmm. looking at TV. They're looking at the internet. And when they see stuff like that on TV, then they're all like, you know what, maybe these guys, it's not a good idea to call these guys and I'll just deal with whatever I got.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, stuff like that, I understand it for ratings. I mean, these people put a lot of money into making these TV shows, and they make this is, you know, I mean, this is what they do for a living. This is how they make their bread and butter. Well, probably more like caviar and butter, but, you know, but the thing is that's what they do to make a living. So they're going to do what they need to do, you know, and they'll take the heat. And like they say, you know, it doesn't really matter what they're saying about you. If there's just as long as they're talking about you, it keeps you on their lips and keeps your ratings up. So, you know, but yeah, I don't think it does us any good when they do things like that at all.
Sure. I mean, I think that with the two shows, let's face it, they are diametrically different. Ghost Hunters being a little bit more cerebral and Ghost Adventures being a lot more, well, hey, it's all emotional kind of stuff. But there's one thing that I do like about Ghost Adventures. Ghost Adventures has brought spiritual people on the show and have taken them seriously. However, when it came to Ghost Hunters, they had Keith and, they had the Johnson twins on there, the Johnson brothers. Very spiritual guys, very much more into a spiritual approach to paranormal investigation. After the middle of the second season, that stuff was gone from that show. Mm-hmm. There was no more spiritual stuff involved there. It was almost as if they were trying to take anything spiritual and turning it into nothing but pure science, and you can't do that.
No, not at all. And, well, in fact, I don't know if you saw the Shanley episode, the Shanley Hotel up in New York, where Jason just flat came out and said, don't give psychics the time of day or mediums, you know, or something to that effect. But yeah. Basically, he came right out and said it. So, yeah, they really distanced themselves from, and why, I don't have any idea, but...
But you know what's funny about that is if you read their books, Jason himself, in both of those books, more than once, that he himself is a psychic medium.
Oh, that's something I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he actually admits in the two books that he does have a certain level of psychic ability, and he does, you know, see dead people. But it sounds like he's kind of afraid of it. And he doesn't like using it because there seems to be a sort of a fear factor there. But, I think that that's really incredibly disingenuous to say, don't trust psychics because, well, apparently it was good enough for the founders of the Society for Psychical Research. Why isn't it good enough for us these days? So, okay. Now, since we talked about the television shows, I wanted to move on to an issue that I always find incredibly, not only fascinating, but almost like, stark, ravingly mad, hilarious about a particular television show. Now, there is a particular television show, and we've already mentioned it, so screw it, we're going to go right into it, Ghost Adventures. Okay, now, I don't know about you guys, but in the 20 years that I've been actively investigating, I've come across maybe two entities that I could say were something inhuman. I'm not going to say demonic, but I will say they were never human. However, Zach seems to become, you know, they seem to come into contact with one of the minions of the evil one at least every other week or maybe, you know, once a month or whatever it seems. Now, when it comes to demons, the kind of a hot button thing right now, do you think that these are the minions of, you know, the red jamming millions of the evil one that's going to poke you in the ass with a trident? Or do you think that these are just, you know, kind of like really pissed off human apparitions and entities that, hey, man, we don't want you here. So get the hell out. We're going to make your life as miserable as possible. We're going to start with Kim. Kim, do you think that demons are a reality or is it something else?
At this point in my work and stuff like that, I'm thinking it's something else.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. The reason I believe it's something else is because I can't find any reason that a demon, if they do exist, is how everybody has learned or grown up through religion or whatever. I can't see any reason for a demon to take over a person. There is no benefit for the demon. The demon is going to get nothing out of it.
Except to make your life appear in living hell, but,
Exactly.
My douchebag neighbor does that to me, two or three times a week, so...
And my ex does that to me, so we all get it.
At a 7 billion people, why would a demon pick on just this one person? However, sure. I do believe in good and evil, and I believe that's where the battle lies. The battle lies with between good and evil. I don't believe people are targeted by a demon or evil or whatever the heck they want to call it. However, I do believe that a person might be caught up in it. Okay,
sure.
But it also has to do with the perception of a person. One person can go into a place that's active and get right through it and not much of anything happen. Another person might go through it and be scared to death of the same exact thing. It's it's fear. It's a perception. Some
exactly.
people are scared of snakes. Some people love snakes. It's that type of thing, and that's the way I'm looking at it right now, because I've been in all kinds of places, and I've tried, I'm still trying, like I said, this place that he's at, whether or not that is actually true.
House on Holy Pond Road.
Right, okay. But that intrigued me because of that, and because of what I'm talking about now, is that really going to happen? What are my experience going to be when, because they're telling me that is a demonic place. But yet, I haven't seen it. I've heard it. I mean, everybody's talking about it, and everybody's talking about demons. And, you have these people all over the place. I see them on the Internet, demonologists, and they're going to get rid of the demon and all this. I don't think so.
Now, we've had an actual, real, honest-to-God demonologist on this show, Dave Considine.
Uh-huh.
And this guy really is trained by the Roman Catholic Church and the Office for the Existence of the Faith of the Saints, or as it was once known as, the Inquisition. This guy has actually spent his entire life being trained by this thing. Now, I'm more likely, even though I may agree with the religiosity of it, I'm going to listen to Dave Considine before I listen to Joe Blow Sixpack talk about demons on the Internet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah. John, your thoughts, demons, red jammied minions of the evil one, or something else?
Demons, I'm sure they exist in some form. I don't think they're around every corner every time something bad happens, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just like angels. I do believe angels exist, but I don't believe they're behind every good action on this planet. There's good and bad, like Kim said, spirits. Most of these inhuman, demonic, pissed off spirits, whatever you want to call them, are probably just a human spirit of someone that is just strongly either upset, protective, whatever the reason is that they're doing what they're doing that's bothering somebody. And just as Kim said, too, you have those times when, one thing will bother someone and something won't bother somebody else, whether it's snakes, spiders, or the spirit. Some people might be a little bit more sensitive to that.
Sure.
And I do believe, too, that some of your experiences in the paranormal come down to your own openness to the paranormal, whether you want to call that a spirit energy in yourself that's open to it,
mm-hmm.
a natural gift. Some people call it grounding to make sure that you're, safe from, any spirit. But when it comes down to it, I've seen some things in my life that somebody might call demonic. I would just call them dark, as in not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the emo kid that lives three doors down from me, he's totally, completely dark. And, I spent, most of my late teens and early 20s as a major goth. I was dark and disturbing, but that doesn't make me a demon. And that doesn't make, Jimmy up the street a demon. So
it's perspective.
It is. It's perception. I mean, you're going to find... we had Neil McNeil on the show. Neil McNeil is a guy who's actually been trained by Lloyd Auerbach, and he is kind of like the poor man's parapsychologist, I like to call psychical researchers. But it's like he said, he's like, you have to have a belief system that encompasses demons in order for there to be a demon. That makes perfect sense to me. when I think about it. It's like, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Buddhist, you know, as I've told many people. I don't necessarily believe in the fallen angel variety, but I do think that there are spirits, ancient forces that really don't mean us good. I mean, do you guys think that that's a fair statement?
Well, I think with some elementals and that type of stuff, if you believe in that, that would fit right into it.
Sure.
So, why not? I mean, even science doesn't know how long we've been here. Religion tells us, but that's not an exact number either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't see why there wouldn't be something that either predated man or grew up, for lack of a better term, with us on that level of plane of existence. Why not?
Okay. Kim, what do you think about that?
I'm still at the point where I don't understand or I can't get wrap my head around what the benefit would be for an evil entity or a bad ghost or whatever to constantly bother a person or possess a person. I don't see what they were getting at. I can't see what they would get out of it. Depending on the person's belief or in the end result, we always hear that the person is exorcised and the demon or whatever is gone. So if that is going to be the end result, for the most part, there's the demon or whatever is just not getting anything out of it. So you know, that's where I'm at. I can't say that I don't believe it. You know, I don't know for sure, obviously. I can't get my head around the fact that taking over a person or, you know, demons themselves have any interaction with human beings on purpose because I don't know what the, you know, the reason would be. I just can't figure it out.
Okay. So. All right. Well, fair enough, guys. I would say that that was pretty much a hardcore disagree, but there is some minor agreeance there. So we're going to do like a cup is half full kind of thing concerning that. Okay. Now, moving on to number five, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier, the idea of provoking. Now, okay, I've oftentimes said in the past that if I'm sitting in my house watching a Cubs game, drinking a beer, and all of a sudden a bunch of people come into my pad waving stuff in the air, the lights, batteries, whatever, you know, and some guy starts, hey, look here, mother effer, you need to come out and show yourself and get the hell out of this house, I'm going to be mad as hell. Now, the provoking thing. We've all seen it on television. It all gets used quite a bit. It's a little bit of the overkill right now. I'd probably kick somebody's ass, too, you know, if they came into my house and told me that I had to leave. This is my spot. John, what is your what do you think of provoking? Necessary, unnecessary, what?
I think it depends on your definition of provoking, because honestly, if you're a spirit and it's your place, anybody coming in there that doesn't quote-unquote belong is going to be provoking you. It doesn't matter if you come in and just sit down and try to meditate. It's not going to be happy. But obviously, if you come in, like you said, cursing at them or commanding them to do something like a dog, they're probably going to get pissed off. But that is the point of provoking, to be honest, to get a response. As for using it, there's some times I probably have provoked, but I like to think of it more as forceful EVP questions, not necessarily telling it that I don't believe you're here or like Bobo Baggins' way of doing it. I don't go that far, I don't think. I have people who have in my group, and we try not to provoke. I try to do the more, you know, generic way of doing it, just ask if anybody's here, being respectful, introducing myself before, you know, the questions and thanking them for hopefully answering.
Mm-hmm.
But provoking in general, I think, is kind of what you do just when you go out. There's just different stages to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like we've actually had, you know, Zach on the show. I actually called him out he was in the chat room, like watching from on high, and I actually called him out to come on the show. And we had a buddy of his on, and he came on, and he proceeded to tell us about all the hell that he's going through in his pad right now because, well, he gets things that follow him home. But I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys. I mean, if you walked into my house and started yelling at me and I was a spirit, I would probably attach myself to you and make your life a living hell as well.
Well, he probably doesn't use any form of protection either on cases to keep things where they're at. I think the only protection he has is hair gel. I don't think that works too well.
Yeah, it kind of looks like he got scared from behind, or the tight black T-shirts. I don't think that that's going to act well as armor. But, Kim, what are your thoughts about provoking? I know what they are because we've talked about it extensively, but share with the world what your thoughts are.
Provoking to me, in the sense that it has taken, provoking has become synonymous with yelling, screaming, cursing, and all that other nasty stuff to try to get spirit to manifest or make some kind of sound or whatever. But the true meaning of provoking is to stimulate some kind of interaction. Okay, sure. I think what people really want to use is the word entice. That's what we want to do. We want to entice somebody or entice the spirit, do something to get the spirit to do something to verify that it is even there. Provoking just doesn't make any sense, and for all the reason you guys just said, why would I even bother staying there if you're going to be screaming, yelling at me or anything like that? I don't think there's any disagreement that a spirit or a ghost is a person that has departed this plane. They are nothing more than a person that has changed form. The person is of the same consciousness. It's the same person. It mm-hmm. hasn't. All it's changed is gone from a physical to a spiritual plane. So, like you said, you're all of a sudden you die and you become a spirit. And you're in your house and somebody comes in and starts cursing and yelling at you and all this other stuff. You're either gonna leave and there's gonna be no contact, or you're gonna make that person's life miserable if you can. It makes no sense to me whatsoever to scream and yell and curse at something that you don't even know if it's there or not.
Yeah.
Number one.
That's exactly what I think.
I'm not going to, even say anything or do anything if you're going to treat me like that right from the get-go.
Right.
I don't think it's... I think it's stupid. Okay, I'll say it. Yeah, it's stupid.
Okay, it's stupid. There you go. But you know what? As you said before, you go into a place and you start yelling and screaming at something that may not even be there on television. You do it. Or even, if you do it, as like you're going out there with your buddies, you're a weekend warrior or whatever, man. It's like, not only do you make yourself look like a gigantic douchebag, yelling in somebody's own house, but you also make yourself look like a crazy person, because let's face it, whatever these people are experiencing could actually be just mice in the walls. what I'm saying? I mean,
exactly.
The mice are not going to respond to you yelling, invectives and stuff like that on it. So, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Before we move on, proceed, we are going to take a break, and we're going to pay some bills. And, so everybody stick around, please. I think this is a fantastic conversation. It's been a lot of fun so far, and we still have another hour to get through. So anyways, come on back. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. And like I said, tonight we're here with Kim Kowalczyk and John Fowler. We're doing an old school, no school, or rather old school, new school kind of thing going on here. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. So anyways, come on back, and we're going to go on break and pay some bills.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American News and Politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio, only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
Hi. Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh, my God.
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. I am your host, Rick Hale. As I said at the top of the show, Karen cannot be joining us tonight. As always, she is missed. But joining us again, still, for the last hour or so, is Kim Kowalczyk of Ghost Breakers, as well as John Fowler of the Midnight Watchman and the creator of the ParanormalDictionary.com. So thanks, guys, for sticking around. I mean, so far, let's face it, this has been a really great conversation. I think that the both of you would agree.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome.
Yeah. You know, that's the kind of high quality that we like to give here at Paranormal Underground Radio. So, okay, moving right along, since now we've got out of the provoking thing. Now, here's a big one, too, that I think that people kind of disagree upon. Religion. What role should religion play in paranormal investigation? I mean, should we be going out there, you know, looking for demons and trying to exorcise them from every place that we go to? Or, you know, should we maybe just keep religion as a part of us and on the back burner? Or what do you think? I mean, should it be something that's brought to the forefront?
You're picking one of us, or just...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, John, go ahead. You first. I apologize.
I think religion does play a part for some people, and for others it does not. I know for me it tends to be a mixture, but I think with the paranormal, a lot of it comes down to faith, for whether you're talking about whether you're dealing with a demon, human spirit, or something else. I mean, most religious, and this doesn't include everyone, but most religious people that I tend to meet, at least the hardcore religious anyway, in the Christian community, they tend to think any spirit's a demon.
Yeah.
And then you have others, of course, the atheists that might be involved in this would tell you that it's nothing, it's all, you know, the science end, it's just somebody's insane, or, you know, glaucoma, that's, you know, whatever. But I personally think that religion, I don't use the term religion as much as I use the term faith, because that's what puts, I guess, power to, like, your own protection, you know, whatever, whether you use a stone, the Bible, you know, the earth, whatever you're using is your religion in some ways. Just like some people do prayers before cases and after, they might be Christian, they might just be a general, you know, protect me from, you know, yada yada.
Now, is that an actual god or demon, yada yada? No, I'm just joking with you, John.
I bet you if you look it up, there is one.
It's a blah, blah, blah as well.
Yeah, I think that's a brother, actually, I believe. But you just don't... people have their own belief system, obviously, and even in the communities, like using Christianity, there's many different branches of that. Mm-hmm. Paranormal is no different. It really isn't. We all have our beliefs and faiths in whatever we're doing. It's really not much different. That's the best way I can say it.
Okay. Kim, what do you think?
I don't think one should be involved with the other. I was born Roman Catholic and raised Roman Catholic, and I totally don't revert back to it or use it at all in paranormal investigation or examination or whatever. I always had a hard time understanding all the backlash from the religious community against ghost hunting in this when their whole belief system is based on spirits. I just never got that. I kind of distance myself from people that are hardcore religious, and they're more than welcome, and I don't hate them for it. That's fine, okay. But I just don't see the similarities or anything that where one should be involved with the other. I don't see it. That's just me, though. Okay. You have to understand, if you're going to break it down to the basics, that the paranormal also is nothing more than a faith-based belief system right now, too.
I find that incredibly interesting, because it's like, okay, you say that, my wife tells me that it's a hobby, my mom says that what I do is of the devil.
She actually told me. Yeah.
but being something that's faith-based, I have a real hard time with even agreeing with that. I don't think that, faith is like saying you absolutely believe in something. What is it that the Bible does say? Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to quote the Bible. Oh my God, I'm probably going to get struck by lightning. But faith is the conviction of things hoped for and the certainty of things not seen. I mean, you can't, okay. We can't really prove that ghosts, spirits, the afterlife exist anyways, because it's incredibly highly subjective. Now, I think it's going to share that with the religion, but being faith-based, I don't think so. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you on that, Kim.
Well, I mean, just what you just said for the definition as far as the hopeful and stuff like that, it still has to, regardless of what everybody says, that yes, I had seen this, and yes, I've done this, and I felt this, and this one smashed me or talked to me or anything like that, there's really nothing out there. I mean, the hope is to get this proof. That's what everybody's doing it for. I assume that's what everybody's saying, that why they do this is because they're looking for the proof. They're hoping to... they have faith in that whatever they're doing is going to, come to fruition one day, and they're going to have something. But at the point we are now, nobody does. A lot of people talk about science, we do it by scientific method. The paranormal really has no basis in science right now. It's not,
it's still considered a pseudoscience.
Yeah, it's, if we had a ghost, we knew it was a ghost, and we could sit it down on the couch, we could interview it, we could take readings from it, and all this, and then we have something. Basically, all we're doing right now is trying to look for that tiny little fact that we can build from. That's what we're looking for. Okay. That's why, and as far as the religion, you start drawing, for me, if you start drawing religion into it, which is, faith-based also, then you're trying to, it kind of entwines, and then, I don't know, it's just, to me, it's just a big mess.
It's kind of like religion and politics. I mean, since when is Jesus a Republican, or a Democrat, whatever, who knows? But yeah, good answers. I'm going to, agree with both of you guys on that, and disagree with both of you as well. So let's look at number 7, okay? Now, everybody talks about evidence this, evidence that. We need the Holy Grail. We need that full-bodied apparition. We need, 50 voices on a video or on a digital voice recorder in one night. I always found that very interesting because I've always sort of really rely upon my own perception. I know that I'm not a crazy person or a drug addict or, you know, whatever. But let me ask you guys this. Is it more important to gather that evidence by something that requires batteries or the personal experience? Let's face it, doesn't your body doesn't require batteries, maybe a little food and drink every now and then. But which do you think is more reliable? Do you think that, you know, Goosebumps is more reliable? Let's face it, you can't really fake that, but you can fake a voice recording and even an EMF read. Which is more important to you guys? Kim, I'm going to go with you. Is it going to be what your body tells you, or is it going to be what some gizmo tells you?
Well, you know, now you already know the answer to that. I'm not a gizmo sure. kind of person. The fact remains, whether people like to admit it or not, is that there's only one piece of evidence in the paranormal, and that piece of evidence is testimonial evidence. That's okay. all we have that is concrete. That's what we have, and that's what we have to work with. Okay,
but what if you're dealing with a person that does turn out to, you know, be a severe schizophrenic? I mean, then that testimony, you know, kind of sort of really isn't acceptable.
Okay. That's when you have to buy the, when I got started into this, the one question I asked myself was this real? Was it not real? There's millions and millions of stories, and I kept thinking to myself over thousands of years. I mean, there's, from the time the first caveman buried the first person that passed away showed that they thought that there was more to, death than just dropping dead. When they stopped abandoning their bodies and started burying them with and ritual and stuff like that.
Well, so, what if it was just because, hey, this guy smells like shit, we got to put him underground?
Which is a good thing. My point being is that it started way back. So,
yes.
Conservatively, trillions of people and trillions of stories out there, I cannot believe that everybody was making it up or everybody was mistaken or none of it happened. So, are you going to get that person that's a nut job that, you know, but even so, if that person's a nut job, does that person truly believe what he's telling you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's so many factors and so many avenues to go. It's like, you know, it's like a branches of a tree. You know, mm-hmm. you're going up, this is the path you're following. And then, like you said, well, if this guy's, you know, maybe he's a schizophrenic or something like that. Yeah, then that all turns into something else. But there's all those other people out there, too. So you put that guy on the back burner for now, and you go off on your other branch. And that's what I was talking about. We talked about it earlier, about how I feel about all the TV shows, books, and everything. I believe everybody should watch all the TV shows, read all the books, listen to all the talk, and then follow their own path and do that and take those branches and go in your different directions. Because when you follow, you're limited to the knowledge of the person you're following.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as far as you can ever get. It, regardless of how smart that person is or you think is or whatever, I mean, even if you're following Einstein and you would get to that point, that's as smart as you're ever going to get. You'll never know, you know, Stephen Hawking or something. You know what I'm saying?
Dr. Sheldon Cooper. Yeah.
But the thing is if everybody should follow their own path. And,
I agree.
You know, and take everything they learn and by all means, but not actually follow one narrow path down to and thinking they're doing the right thing.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. John, what do you think concerning that? Gizmos or what your body's telling you?
Well, I believe it's a little bit of both, to be honest, because myself, I do trust my gut feeling. And, you know, obviously what I've seen in my own eyes. But on the flip side of that, if I tell somebody, and I'm the only one in the room, you know, that yesterday I saw somebody walk through my apartment through a wall, whether they believe me or not, you can't prove that in the least.
Sure.
Okay? But at least with a gizmo, in theory, like audio recorders, we use multiple ones, you know, in a room and building. If you get something on one particular recorder and none of the other ones picked that up, but they picked up everything else that night, you have something there to show people. Now, again, like you said, could be faked. You know, obviously some people do that. They want notoriety, whatever. But assuming that, you know, this is a legitimate recording, you have something that's paranormal. It's not normal to have a voice in just one room that's picked up nowhere else in this building or area when everything else is being picked up.
Sure.
And if you have an experience in that room as well, that you told somebody you saw somebody walking through a wall, well, now you have an experience, you have a voice or sound or whatever, and you're backing it up. So it's beyond just the physical. You also have the gizmo end, as you call it, the technical end.
Yeah.
And if you, and that's what I believe in. I think you need a little bit of both to kind of quantify or verify what you have going on in an area, at least ideally.
Right. Now, but I've actually talked to other groups that they are so dead set against the personal experience that if they have one, or if they know that the person that they're, you know, I don't want to use the term servicing because that sounds kind of weird and perverted, kinky, whatever. But I'm going to use it anyways for lack of a better term, the client. They'll listen, but it's like, you know, we're going to go off and we're going to do our own thing. Okay, you said you had this, fine, whatever. But we're not even going to deal with that. We don't want to deal with that. We're going to listen to you, but that's it. We're going to go off and we're going to find this thing. Do you think that that's disingenuous to not even aggressively go after a personal experience?
That's poor investigating. You're taking out possible evidence to look into.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, if someone says that they think that's their great-grandmother and they show you a picture and said, this is who I saw, and, you know, you don't use that even in a few questions asking if, you know, Mrs. Smith is here, you're really not using all the tools and, you know, data that you have already going in at your disposal. You know, you're just not using it. So why'd you bother going out in the first place to yell at thin air?
and that's the question that I ask these people. It's like, well, you know, we're trying to, you know, disprove a haunting. Well, it's like, well, you know, you just sound like Taps, man. So why don't you go home and, you know, watch the ball game? You know what I'm saying? Just get out of this.
The more info you have, the easier it is to disprove something.
That's very good. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. To me, it shows just an amateurish approach to everything. I mean, the whole reason they're doing what they're doing is stemmed from a personal experience.
Yes, police did that. They would never capture anybody.
Right.
Anybody that is going to call themselves a paranormal investigator or whatever, if they disregard anything, that's just an amateurish way of going about things. You can't disregard anything unless you've examined everything. And if somebody, it's just like when I was working, if I get some nut in there telling me, yo, yeah, I did this, and I know damn well this guy didn't do it, I still have to listen to him, I have to document it, and it becomes part of the case file.
Sure.
You know, you should never disregard anything. I don't understand. I never did understand. And I don't understand why people don't take the people with them. We always take the client with us.
Oh, absolutely.
If that person is telling me that this is it, well, very likely the whole reason it's happening is because that person is there.
They're a trigger object, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. True. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they're just either they don't care or they're too much into the TV or whatever, you know.
But, I mean, yeah. I know when I saw the apparition of Mrs. McNett in my grandparents' house on the northwest side of Chicago 30 years ago, obviously I didn't have, you know, a voice recorder and I didn't know, can you show me a sign of your presence? I mean, this was a hardcore witnessing that I had. Now, I can tell you this and you could say, oh, well, you know, maybe you really didn't see Mrs. McNett. You're only a child. Now, let me ask you guys this. Do you think that somebody would stay in this field of inquiry for their entire life if they did not actually see this thing?
I've
had people, they're like, you know, no, you know what, you're 8 years old, you really didn't see it, you were just a kid. It's like, well, would I be involved with this insanity 30 years later if I hadn't seen something like that?
Yeah. Obviously, it made an impact enough psychologically for you to continue to follow that path.
Sure.
It wasn't just an imaginary friend that you talked to occasionally, you know.
But I think the moral of the story that I'm trying to make is like, let's face it, man. I mean, guys, the personal experience is the most important and key element of any kind of research or investigation.
Absolutely.
And by the sound of it, you guys both agree with that. So it's going to be preaching to the choir, brothers and sisters, after this point. So, Okay, now this is one that I find personally interesting because I do take part in not only just psychical research. I will, you know, go out hunting for big feet and, you know, looking for little green, excuse me, little gray men.
Well, it could be green. You never know.
But you know what? Yeah, I'm slightly colorblind, so you know it could be. I have no idea. But okay, now basically this, the term paranormal is kind of an umbrella term for anything that is, you know, otherwise unexplained. Do either of you have an interest in ufology and cryptozoology? And if so, do you go looking for it? Kim, do you go looking for big feet and little green men?
Yes and no.
Okay.
No, I am absolutely fascinated by the possibility that some large primate could exist, even in North America. I do not believe, from everything I've seen and everything I've read, from all the scientists and everything, I don't believe any one of them is ever going to find one on the approaches they take to finding Bigfoot. That's my personal experience. And my preference on that. But as far as UFOs, I guess I'm like most people, you know, the general public. Do I believe that they're here? I believe they have been here. I would think that in this vast universe, that I can't see how it wouldn't be possible that some other planet possibly could have evolved even quicker than we did, and be flying around out there. You know, there's also a third possibility, but that's kind of weird and everything, and that had to do with the crystal skull and all this other junk. But that had something else to do about us being the first race to actually evolve in this universe.
Well, we love weird here on Paranormal Underground.
It really has more. Everybody's heard the story of the crystal skull and how nobody could have back then could have made it and everything like that. The theory, it's not, I don't know if it's a theory, but it's a thought that what if it truly is much older than they thought it was, except not from the past but from the future. And what if somewhere in the future, that skull
you just
was
blew placed, my mind, dude.
Was placed in with the information in that spot for us to find and figure out. So whatever is happening in the future can be changed. I don't know. That's just some weird thing I'm thinking about. That, but that's now I'm getting off the subject.
Mind blowing. Check, John.
There goes Rick's head.
And I thought it was going to be something my kid would say one day that would make my head explode and I'd destroy the car. He's only 18 months old, so I got a long time yet to go, guys. Okay, John, what do you think? Just ghost spirits, hauntings, apparitions, or are you also interested in big feet and you know, little green men? What do you think?
Well, I know for the Midnight Watchman, we do focus mostly on spirits, but overall, I believe in, you know, cryptozoology with possibilities of, you know, Bigfoot, Loch Ness, you know, all those type of things. I think there's too many sightings of something to discredit that it's out there, whether it's an actual animal or a spirit entity of some kind or other dimensional, truly alien. I don't know. I haven't found one, so I can't ask them. But there's too many possibilities out there for what's going on. I love anything that's unexplained, paranormal, above the norm, anything from, like, Oak Island mystery to, you know, Bigfoot versus gray aliens. I think they're all interesting. Ancient Astronauts is an amazing idea. Van Daniken's books are great.
Yeah.
Any book with a lot of questions that actually answers other questions in a way makes you think, I think, is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know what always kind of interested me about Van Daniken? Because I remember reading that book, God, the first time I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. And that was a book that I just completely ripped apart, man. That and Guy Lion Playfair's This House is Haunted. Those are like two books that just I literally devoured. And Von Daniken, you know, a lot of his critics are like, well, he's making all these outrageous statements. And it's like, no. If you notice, he's asking those questions, man. I mean, they're like, I could go over, I got it right over here on my vast paranormal book collection over here. Mm-hmm. You can go in there and you can find, you can count more question marks than you can periods.
Yeah, people tend to miss the simple things, no matter what you're writing, and questions tend to be one that they just read the words and not the intent behind it.
Sure.
Even on Ancient Aliens, the show on, what is it, A&E?
Love it.
When he's on there, he brings up certain facts, but they're about things we know about, whether it's Punta, I can't think, I can never pronounce that one name, but some of the ancient cities.
Pumapunku?
Yes. Yeah. But point out a fact about that, you know, like that scientists don't know this or that, but then he'll go, well, if that's true, then why are they doing this? Why is it this? Is it out of the realm to do this? It's not, he's never telling you that anything. He's always just making you think. And I think in the paranormal, that is one of the few things people don't always do is just think, what could it be?
Sure. Yeah, you know, the whole idea of aliens, I'm more akin to go along with what Von Daniken says, that we naturally evolved ourselves, and but they kind of helped us along. I'm not really too much into Zechariah Sitchin, who's like, well, we were created in a lab as a slave race. I think that kind of makes the whole human race look like just a bunch of dicks, man. You know, it just...
And honestly, like if we were a slave race, I think we would know by now, because I can't imagine something like that would be forgotten about in human history. I just can't imagine, or they'd still be here. You know?
Right, exactly. So, okay, slave race, we are not... Evolved naturally, you betcha, and you guys both like big feet and little gray men.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, and Czech mind has been blown tonight by Kim. Thank you very much. okay, now here's something that I always found was interesting. The question is this. Can the existence of ghosts, hauntings, and spirits ever be proven, or is this research so highly subjective? Too highly subjective. Kim, let's go with you.
Wow. It's, I guess I have to go with, I believe that it probably can. I don't think we are at the point now that it'll be done. And I don't know that it could be done even in our lifetime. I think regardless of how many years people have been doing this or been interested in it or whatever, I really think now that we're in our infancy right now, and with everybody, with all the different ideas, good or bad, is where we're growing, and we're evolving now. You know, some people, like you said, you know, some people like gadgets. I'm not a gadget person. I'm more of a, you know, logical, simplicity and logic is my way to go. But we need it all. I think that we will prove at some point of the paranormal. Now, whether or not we will prove that ghosts exist or that it is all in our own minds, that's something else. But I think we will definitely come up with the answer someday.
Okay. John, what do you think about that?
Honestly, I do think a lot of the evidence is subjective, just because obviously people cannot really see everything that goes into just that 2-second clip of audio or video. I think a lot of groups, just because of necessity, don't really put out there what they have for like a full minute, you know, before or after a clip, because most people don't want to hear it. They just want to hear the voice say, I'm here, or no, or, you know, whatever. So it is very subjective. I hope at some point, you know, there's, with the way technology is evolving, we might be able to do something to fix that, but we're not quite there yet, I think, to kind of open those doors to the credibility, I guess you would call it, of the evidence.
Sure. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not really all running around with, unlicensed, untested nuclear power plants on our back or anything like that. So, I mean, it's not like we can just go up to, go zap it, put it in a trap and say, here you go, world, it's all there. You know, a lot of a few parapsychologists that I've had the pleasure of talking to, such as Barry Taff and Lloyd Auerbach, we've had them both on the show, both really super guys. I mean, I Barry really likes chicks, man. But he talked about that quite extensively last time he was on there. But they'll both tell it's too subjective to ever actually prove.
Yeah.
Hmm? I'm sorry, what did you say, Kim?
Oh, no, you're fading out. Are we still on, or are you being censored?
No, I don't know. Am I being censored, Cheryl? Maybe. Who knows? I could be. Oh, Cheryl just said that I can hear you. Okay, thank you, Cheryl. So, but yeah, I mean, it's like these guys will tell you that this stuff is so incredibly subjective that we may never actually be able to prove this. So, I don't know. I mean, with me, the jury is still out on the whole idea.
Yeah. But then you have to ask yourself, what would be the proof? I mean, what would convince, because you'd have to convince everyone for it to be accepted. I mean, what possibly could actually be the proof that would tell everybody that, yes, ghosts exist, your Aunt Mary is really floating around in your living room? I don't know. I don't know what, like you said, we revert back to the personal experience again.
Yeah, I would love to be able to see that someday.
Would it take you know, something somewhere that everybody could go and do and everybody have the personal experience? That might be one step, but I really don't. I don't even know what would actually be proof for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, to say the least.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I agree with both of you guys on that. All right. Last question. Are you involved in the research to gain notoriety? Or is this a field of research, something you truly believe in and can see yourself still involved with even when the present trendiness fades away? John?
Well, I don't plan on going anywhere. I've loved the paranormal, whether it's ghosts, UFOs, like unsolved mysteries, like Templars, Oak Island type stuff, since I was a young child. I first could read and find a book on, I think it was Bermuda Triangle. So I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I started my group in, 2006, 2007 was our first investigation, mm-hmm. long before a lot of these shows popped up, and it kind of, the bubble kind of popped, I guess you could say, lately, because you can't just throw a rock without finding a group now. And most of them are gone within a few months. And I know a lot of people that have been emailing me to join my group and saying they try to start a group and they fail for whatever reason. Sometimes it's they're dedicated, the people aren't. Sometimes they're not dedicated enough. I plan on being around for a while. I don't see us going anywhere. I mean, with the ParanormalDictionary.com, I love talking to different people in the field, and that keeps my interest level up for new, not just places, but stories, and even techniques sometimes.
Okay. Kim?
For me, I I've been around a long time doing this, and I have no desire to be on TV. Not that anybody wants to put my ugly old butt on TV anyway.
But Kim, you're so pretty for a man.
it's sort of thing. I mean, if I would think about it, I mean, what would that do for me? It really wouldn't do anything. I mean, they've already got the ghost shows out there. All the people have already made their fame and their money on it. Why would I go out there and do the same thing they're doing? There's no need for it. I like where I'm at. I like doing what I'm doing. I'm not a weekend warrior. I don't go out all the time. I don't go to abandoned buildings. We only take cases when people come to us, and if it meets a certain criteria. So, we're not doing it all the time. In fact, I haven't even talked to anybody in the group in about a month or so, which I probably should do. But it doesn't, the notoriety really doesn't have anything for me. And that might be a lot too, that I'm a little bit older also. So, maybe if I was in my 20s again, and I might be, all excited about getting on TV or getting my name out there or something like that. But
afford super smooth silver jewelry, right?
Yeah, exactly. or a new car, or whatever. The lure that I would never wanted to be famous. But I will admit that rich is fine. famous? Nah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, money's good, fame, not so much.
So, basically that concludes the question and answers. And, I mean, let's face it, and I think that we have seen from this point that new generation, older generation, I think you guys would agree it doesn't really matter. We're all trying to reach that same goal if we're really involved in this for, altruistic reasons. I think you guys would agree with that, correct?
Yes.
I would. I definitely would. We all, like you said, the goal is the same. We're just approaching it from different avenues, which is good. Because you might, someone might find something different, and we crisscross our paths will cross all the way along the line. And we're actually complementing and helping each other by doing that. I think.
Oh, you know what? Sorry, guys, but I did have number 11.
Oh. Now,
okay.
Uh-oh. Yeah, there could be an uh-oh.
Now, since you said that, it's interesting because number 11 is this, Paranormal Unity, Fact or Fiction.
What's your definition of paranormal unity, though?
Okay, you get like a lot of people who are on. Like, we got a union. We got to have this unity, man. We got to all like get along, and we got to be like buddies and fun and everything. But networking is okay. The idea of paranormal community or unity, it's I don't even so much as like being the paranormal community. Kim, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that we should like unionize and have like this whole unity thing where we're all getting ready, getting along and making buddies and fun and going out for beers on, Saturday nights? I mean, what do you think about that, Kim?
Personally, no, I don't think we should do it. I don't think it's a good thing. I know what the people are saying, but if you look at all the people that are saying, there's some people out there that really believe that they're doing it because of all the backstabbing and all this other stuff. They think they don't want everybody to get together. There are also a lot of people out there talking for paranormal unity to gather information from other people to use it as their own. There's a lot of different people out there using the term, quote, paranormal unity for their own means, and their own selfish ends. So sure. I don't think it's a good idea. I think there already is a paranormal unity between mature groups, mature people, and like I said when we talked on Facebook and stuff like that, old school doesn't mean you have to be old. It doesn't matter what I have more respect for somebody that's starting out 2 weeks ago, that's honest about what they're doing than somebody that's been doing it for 20 years trying to get over on everybody.
I agree.
The unity is there, okay. But the people that are involved with it already know already. They don't need to join a club or whatever. You know what I mean? To be considered, having paranormal unity.
Family is a load of crap. Then
I would think so.
John, what do you think about that? Load of crap or what?
I honestly, the Taps family, the Ghost Adventures crew, all that stuff to me is junk.
Okay.
It's just, so you're a part of a group, but you don't really deal with the group in any way. So what's the point? It's just a name association. As might as well just name drop that you met, Jason Halls or whoever.
Okay.
It's pointless. But as for paranormal unity, I think it depends on your definition. That's why I said, how do you define it? Because paranormal unity can be networking. Okay. It doesn't mean you have to like who you're dealing with, okay? It doesn't mean you have to even agree. It's more of an open-mindedness to me and the ability to listen to what somebody has to say and be an open mind about it. And I know some people have hid behind that where somebody goes, oh, so-and-so is talking junk on us. We have to hate them now because that's paranormal unity. Well, not really. Because you don't even know what's going on in the situation. How can you back somebody if you're just someone just telling you, again, as an investigator, someone just said something, so that's absolute fact?
Yeah.
No,
I agree
really.
With that. Yeah. No, yeah.
So unity isn't necessarily, I think what someone told me the best term that was holding hands by a campfire, fire saying kumbaya. It's not that at all.
Okay.
It's more of just working together. And honestly, some of this stuff where people think that locations are theirs is just crap anyway. People who own the locations are the ones who decide who comes and who goes. If it's only one group because the owners just like that group, hey, fine. If it's only one group because you signed a contract to keep other groups out, I think that's BS. How is that advancing the field if you're the only one investigating someplace? We all know that two groups can go to a place and get different things, good evidence. So why hold that back? Just for your ego? I don't like that.
No, see, I agree with that. It's like, my favorite haunted place of all time here in the Chicagoland area is Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. Now, I've been to Bachelor's Grove just as like a person walking around because not only is it my favorite haunted place, but it's also very peaceful. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It's on the south side of Chicago. But
is that the one with the famous picture?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's the one with the white lady sitting on the on the marker. But it's a very peaceful place, but holy cow, pardon my French. I mean, it's like you cannot go there without throwing a stone at a group of people wearing the same damn T-shirt with the same damn acronym on it. It's like you don't own this place. This place is owned by the people. It's a place for you to come and maybe do some kind of research into this. You know what I'm saying? It's not just owned exactly by one person.
Well, that's like the Paranormal Dictionary. One of the things I've got bashed about, not so much publicly but privately, is people worried about giving up their locations. And to me, it's like, unless you have a confidentiality agreement, if you have something on your website, it's already out there. No one's asking you for a phone number of the owner who doesn't, you know, go in there. No one's asking for private residence information. That's, you know, mm-hmm, public knowledge is what Paranormal Dictionary is about. And if that means it's a restaurant and the phone number's on there and they're open to investigators, hey, if as long as they're letting people in, what's the big deal?
Okay.
For example, that's the way I look at it. And the thing about Paranormal Dictionary, I've been trying to get groups to understand, is like on a page for, say, Eastern State in Philadelphia. I'll use a good public place like that.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody who goes to Eastern State and pays for the investigation or does it on their own, whatever, it doesn't really matter how the process works, would help get the information on the site for dates and everything else, I think it'd be very interesting to look that if I went, like I did on August 29th of 08, if somebody was in the night before us, the night after, I'd love to contact them and see if they got anything to match up with what we got. I think it'd be a very good networking thing and informational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think a lot of people miss that point of the site. They just look at it as giving up their quote-unquote, you know, bag or case.
Yeah. Well, I agree, but also, too, I'm not really too interested in investigating a place that has a gift shop where you can buy bobbleheads of their famous ghost or whatever. But, Cheryl has brought up some other questions that they don't really pertain to the old school, new school kind of thing. But I do think that they're great questions. Now, Kim, you've been doing this for a long time. John, you've been doing this for a while now. Your favorite investigation that you've done so far and the evidence that you've captured from it. Kim, briefly, go.
My favorite one now is the hotel we do in Pennsylvania. We were called a few years ago to do it, to get exclusivity to do it, they wanted us to do an event. Well, when I first signed on to do it, it was with the okay that we could keep coming back. So we got a blanket opened. We can go anytime we want, any time of the day, week, year, to look at this place. The place has a lot of history. It's called the Bethlehem Hotel.
Okay, yeah.
We do a thing in the spring because we try not to do a Halloween-y event. We do a thing in the spring. It's very low-key, friendly type of thing.
I love when people say Halloween-y. I can't help but giggle inside, but no, go ahead, proceed.
and we take people around the hotel to the hot spots and stuff like that. But what intrigued me about the hotel is that it's the hotel that sits there now, sits on the exact imprint of the hotel that sat there before it, which was built in 1790s, and before that, the very first house that was built in Bethlehem was on that very site also. So there's a lot of history and stories galore. We've come up with some stuff to add to the place, whether it's evidence or not, I really don't know. But that would be my favorite place. Like I said, we're allowed to keep coming back, and we've been there a few years now, and we're going to continue to keep going back and see what else we can get.
Cool. John, your turn, briefly, because there's something else I want to touch on with you guys.
Oh, no problem. I think my favorite case to date it's probably a tie. It's either the Orphanage in Gettysburg or Stemmy's Place, also known as the Black Horse Inn, below Easton. I'll go to Stemmy's Place for this conversation to keep it quick. We had gotten so many EVPs there, I forget the number off the top of my head, but it's the most we ever got there, and they were from a Frank's Box session with a shack hack, and there's some stuff that was on there that we didn't hear with our own eyes. My God, I'm getting tired, I guess. Our ears. that actually fit in with the waitress who passed away on property that was good friends with the owner.
Okay.
And it's the EVPs, which are all up on our website, midnightwatchman.com.
Oh, nice plug, John. Nice plug.
Thank you. I'm actually good at marketing sometimes.
Okay. Cool. So, all right. Now, Kim, you do have something coming up with Gettysburg. What's going on with that?
Oh, yeah. That was that stems from an examination we did years ago where this lady's daughter ran us down in Walmart one day because we used to go for many vacations, the group, to hang out, and she brought us to her house. She owns a farm, a 100-acre farm that was it's a designated battle hospital during the Battle of Gettysburg. It's called the David Stewart Farm, which is the original name. And now it's called the Brenna Lee Farm. But anyway, we have we call it the Paranormal Gathering, and it's not a convention or anything like that. It's free. You come, you show up, you meet other people. It's just basically a networking thing, a fun afternoon. Where this year it's July, I think it's Saturday, July 21st, I believe, is okay. Saturday. And, everybody, we have some people, this year we may have some vendors. Mark Nesbitt, I don't know how many people know him, he wrote the Ghosts of Gettysburg series. Mm-hmm. Well, he'll be there, his new book comes out in July, so he's going to be there to sign books if anybody wants, do a little book signing. Yeah. And people come around, and the lady will show them around the place. She lets people do investigations there from time to time. We'll walk them around the property and give them the hot spots and that. But the big draw, I think, with everybody, and a lot of people don't understand, is that Gettysburg, after the battle, when they made the National Cemetery, they only put Union soldiers in the National Cemetery. Mm. All the Confederates are still buried wherever they laid. So the farm, which was a Confederate hospital, because it's on the Confederate retreat on the Fairfield Road, I'm pretty sure, I would say it's a good bet that there's a lot of Confederate soldiers still buried there. They haven't done it yet, but they are going to do ground penetrating radar. She has somebody coming in to actually see if they can find the graves so they can mark them, do all that good stuff too. But yeah, so I mean, if anybody's in Gettysburg area in July 21st, that Saturday or that weekend, they're welcome to stop by. Just check out, it's on Paranormal Underground.
Yep.
Under the gathering thing, too. So, if they want to. It's just a pretty interesting place. For lack of a better term.
Well, I always let you know whenever I talk about Gettysburg, I always like to talk about this. My grandfather's grandfather was at Gettysburg. At the 15th Alabama Infantry.
Wow.
And so it's like, one of these days I'm going to get there, and hopefully it'll be soon, and I don't know, maybe I could say, hey, my name's Hale, and have a bunch of ghosts of Union soldiers try to kick my ass or something. So who knows about that. But John, okay, can you you want to talk a little bit about the Paranormal Dictionary? How did you come up with that idea? Did you just woke up from a dream one day and be like, hey, paranormaldictionary.com, there it is. So, how'd you come up with that, and how's it coming along?
Basically, the original version of the Paranormal Dictionary was a very simple term site, just static HTML, basically simple web page, A to Z. Mm-hmm. Nothing really dynamic or interesting, to be honest. I started just because, I found the domain name was available, and I thought, that's a heck of a domain name, so I'm going to, buy it. And I didn't really do much with it for a few years. I had definitions, and I went to update it, and I found that more than I realized, a lot of groups have the same idea. They have their own little dictionary on their site, built into their site, or they link to somebody else's or whatever. And a lot of the stuff is the same, but some of it's not the same. There's no real, dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this more so when I realized something that was very unique to mine showed up on a few sites when I contacted some other groups for just to have help with this new project, which is more of a Wikipedia style, where stuff links to itself. So when I realized that, I basically said, this is BS. We're all got the same information out on the web. It should be in one place.
I agree.
And then it expanded out to there. And that's why I try to tell people, even with the orbs as an example, the dictionary should include both views of orbs as spirits and as dust, because we don't know for sure what it is, but one's not more valid than the other.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way with, like I said, the groups idea, there's events listed on there. There is, you know, people, places. As more groups, even radio shows and TV shows on the internet are on there. It should be a place for anything paranormal. Wikipedia is a great idea, but unfortunately Wikipedia, 99% of us are not going to meet the notoriety requirements to be on Wikipedia. We don't have it. We're not notable outside of our own little world. And that means just usually our area we live in, not necessarily the paranormal community or whatever you view it as.
Sure.
I just saw somebody in the radio chat room said TAPS still has one. Well, TAPS is notable because of a TV show. That reached across the country. I don't have a TV show, therefore I am not notable. Even if I've done more than TAPS, quote unquote, you know, I'm not notable. But here, everybody's on the same level.
Cool. And that's how it should be. Now, okay, now, real quick, guys, before I have to throw it over to Cheryl, who's going to tell us what we got coming up, bucket list. Kim, go. Where would be your ultimate, I'm not even so much a bucket list, where would be your ultimate investigation, the place that you would love to go to more than anything in the world?
Probably for me, it would have to be the Valley of the Kings in Egypt.
Oh, God, outstanding.
And
good answer.
The reason being is that the ancient Egyptians never prepared for death. They just they prepared for another life. So their whole mindset was, as we see it today, the paranormal. So I think that would be my ultimate place that I would like to go.
Okay, John, I dare you to top that.
Stop.
I don't know if I can top that, but I mean, this is going to sound weird for me because I hate water, but the Titanic would be a great place to investigate.
Okay.
I personally can't swim, and I can't stand deep water, but I think the idea of that ship and the history and the energy and the death there would yield some results.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree, too, because I believe the reason for the my belief is for the Titanic is because those people had hours to know that they were going to die and to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
I mean,
that's
I think.
Sorry,
Kim, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've actually heard divers say that they have seen apparitions walking around the decks of this boat laying at the bottom of the ocean. I mean, you can't get any more like. There's definitely a wow factor involved with that.
Yeah, with all the energy down there, the fact it's a massive graveyard, traumatic death, it's got all the quote-unquote trappings of a haunted situation.
Sure. So, you know what? And another thing, too, before I throw it over to Cheryl, web pages, books, anything you guys want to shill? John, you got anything other than the Paranormal Dictionary?
Just MidnightWatchman.com, my paranormal group site, and ParanormalDictionary.com. That's all I'm involved in as of today.
Outstanding. Kim?
Yeah, just ghostburgers.com and anything else that has to do with us, they can link from there, and they'll see them, and they can check it out.
Outstanding. Well, guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing the show tonight. I mean, I think it was a fascinating conversation. Definitely covered a lot of ground. And I think it's going to be, you know, for me, I know even just for me, it was very educational. I think you guys are both gentlemen, and I think you're both incredibly knowledgeable in this field. And, you know, hey, you know, there's always a possibility of going a long way. So, you know, again, guys, thank you so much for doing this show. I think it was great.
And thanks for having me. Yep.
No problem. You know, we'll try to get you guys on again sometime. You know, Kim, you're, you know, considered a frequent flyer now. John, maybe we'll have you on again sometime as well. So,
sounds
you know,
good.
Again, okay. Again, guys, thanks. Cheryl, what is coming up?
Hey, I just want to say thanks a lot to Kim and John. I really appreciate them taking the time to join us tonight. And it was great conversation. So, mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Next week... June 7th. Oh my gosh, is it already June? Wow.
I know. Can you believe it?
No. I can't. We're going to be speaking with Rochelle Wright. And Karen met Rochelle, or I don't know if she met, but she saw her speak at a conference here recently. And Rochelle does something a little different. She is a licensed mental health professional, and she does something called Guided Afterlife Connections.
Okay.
And so we need to find out what that is and all about it. So that's going to be next week. June 14th, we'll be speaking with Mike Roberts. And what group is he with, Rick? I don't have that right in front of me.
Research Paranormal. He also runs Demented Media, Media, and he deals with... he's actually kind of a talent agent. He deals with all, you know, the people like Ben Hansen, a lot of people who are on sci-fi. And according to him, yes, Ben Hansen really was an FBI agent, so I'm going to take his word for it. But he's going to be on the show next week. And, you know, he's a really interesting guy. He's also an author of a book called I Am a Ghost Hunter, which is a which is kind of like a show of honor to Hans Holzer, who, you know, wrote the book Ghost Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think he's going to be a really interesting guest, and I can't wait to talk to him.
Great. Well, the week after Mike, the 21st, we're going to talk to Peter and Donna Stagman of Parahunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then to round out June, we're going to be talking to Ramiro Ramirez. And he's from a show called From Beyond, and he is also the owner of Haunted Orange County, which is a paranormal tour and events company.
Holy cow, that's like I've seen that show. I did not know that we had this guy coming up. I've actually seen his show on
on
CTV.
Yeah. So, well,
and it's a great show.
Yeah, we just recently confirmed, so that's why you don't know yet.
Oh,
so sorry about that.
I can't wait to talk then.
So anyway, we have a lot of good stuff coming up, and I also want to encourage our listeners to visit our website, paranormalunderground.net. Check out our forums, start discussions, debates, post your evidence, or you can also go to our blogs and post it there. And then just come back next week, come back every Thursday, and hopefully you'll enjoy some more good conversation.
Yeah. So again, thanks to John and Kim, both gentlemen, both very knowledgeable. Thanks a lot again, guys. And thank you, everybody, for listening to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Make sure that you stick around the next four Fox Cities Paranormal. It's a newer show, pretty decent. Actually had a chance to listen to it for a couple minutes. And make sure you listen to them. And again, this is Rick for Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Oh, hey, Rick.
Yeah?
I was just informed that it's called Fox City Paranormal Radio.
Fox City Paranormal. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Okay, yeah. Anyway,
paranormal.
Like Rick said, stay tuned for that show next, and we'll see you next week, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.